weekend. Here we are, another hour of the Good Day Weekend program. This hour is devoted to food, where you get it and how good is it, and expertise from a gentleman who, if there's anybody, if they're in the dictionary, if you look up the word expertise, no longer is there any wording next to it. Just a picture of Phil Lempert, the supermarket guru.
No, it would be nice.
No, you're the expert when it comes to this. You are the man.
When it comes to food. When it comes to food. And shopping and food safety and what's real about health issues, what's not real about it. Labeling, yes.
Yeah. All right. So he's the man. If he can't do it, nobody can. Remember that from high school? Phil's our man. If he can't do it, nobody can. Anyway, our poll from earlier this week at DougStephan.com, how often do you use coupons when grocery shopping? We ripped this off from the supermarket guru, one of the postings this week. We ripped off this poll. Hope you don't mind, Phil. It was good coverage.
We're on this together.
That's right. How often do you use coupons? Let's see here. 38% of our listeners said they hardly ever used coupons when responding to this question. 38%. Now, do you find that sort of squares with the norm and the research you've done, or is it unusual among the Good Day listeners, high or low?
Well, I think it's low. If I take a look at our consumer panel, and we've got over 100,000 consumers on our panel, they're obviously very food involved, very involved with our website. So they, you know, have been hearing from us for 20 years about using coupons. You know, 38% is low. However, let's put it in the right perspective, because of all the billions and billions of coupons that are issued, less than 4% are actually ever redeemed. So 96% are not redeemed.
Wow.
And these days, the average value of a coupon, the face value, is over a dollar. So we're just throwing away money if we don't use coupons.
Wow. So that's there you go. Don't be silly, basically. It sounds like Phil is saying don't be silly. Let's see here. Some other people, 18% of the respondents says, I use coupons about half of the time. 15% of you said I cut out coupons but usually forget them. Let's see here. 13.
That happens a lot to people, and that's why, you know, some of the new technologies that are actually mobile coupon apps that you can put on your smartphones and just go to the store and your smartphone talks to the register and automatically downloads them. That's going to be what really gets coupon value up.
Really?
Yep, absolutely. And also, you know, over the past couple months, there's been a lot of bad press, me included, about this TLC television show called Extreme Couponing, where you see these maniacs who don't have any life whatsoever. They are spending 40, 50 hours a week getting coupons, and then this show shows you these storerooms that they have. Doug, their storeroom is bigger than the storeroom that you have for the dairy farm, for the dairy store. You have people who have 12 gallons of mayonnaise, and I'm talking about families of two or three people. Yeah. You know, 12 gallons of mayonnaise, 100 rolls of toilet paper. I mean, it's absurd. It's a sickness.
Yeah, and people are more and more getting sucked into this because they're getting worried about the future and what's tomorrow going to bring.
And also, one of the biggest problems that we have with these extreme couponers, and that's why all these supermarkets are changing their policies very quickly, is that what we're seeing is we're seeing people, when something's on sale, going in the store, cleaning it out. So just for you and I and the normal shopper who sees something on sale, we get to the shelf, it's all gone already.
Yeah. It is a really kind of strange reality when you get right down to it. 13% of you who responded to this survey, I never go shopping without coupons. I remember going to the store to buy food, and I would only buy what I had coupons for because I didn't have a lot of money when the kids were small. And so I'd always buy things that were hyped, in essence, by, I mean, that's what it is. Couponing is hyping, isn't it?
Well, the idea of couponing, there's two strategies. One is for a brand to introduce themselves to new users, yeah. whether it's a new product or whether they're introducing into a new area. And now these freestanding inserts are actually targeted by zip code. So let's say Coca-Cola finds a zip code in Massachusetts where Pepsi is number one. They might put a high-value coupon in just that zip code on Coca-Cola so that they can stimulate more people to switch. That's one strategy. The other strategy is rewarding your present consumers to keep them because a new product might be coming out on the market. They want to make sure that you stock up so when that new product does hit the shelves that you don't switch.
All right. So speaking of new products, there have to be Harry Potter macaronis around someplace. Is there a Harry Potter macaroni?
I'm not sure about that, but I did read a story late last night about, you know, Butterbeer, Harry Potter's beer.
Really?
That they do in the show. Somebody has now licensed that out, and that's coming out. But there has been Harry Potter limited edition cereals and candies. And yeah, that'll continue. And what all these movie companies find is this is just found money. And with especially cereals or candies, if they can tie in merchandising with a hot movie, their sales increase as well. So it's good for the retailer, it's good for the brand, it's good for the movie, it's just bad for us because, frankly, you know, let's be smart about it. Let's put Harry Potter logo on broccoli or on fruits and vegetables and try to do some kind of promotion on the healthier foods, mm-hmm. not the sugar-laden foods. The problem is that it's the sugar-laden foods that have all the profits. They can give it to the movie companies. There's not a lot of profit, you know, in fresh broccoli.
No, there isn't. But it's very good for you.
It's
good
excellent.
And good for you. Here's something else that's going on in the world of supermarkets. I saw something this week in one of the medical journals about how much more water we are drinking, and it made me think of you and what's going on in the supermarkets around the country, because you can't go to a supermarket and not see an aisle that's loaded with all kinds of bottled water. And I wondered what kind of, you told us here on this program a while back how profitable the soda, Coca-Cola, Dr. Pepper, Pepsi-Cola, and all the things that belong to them, those aisles are extraordinarily profitable. How much space and profit is devoted to getting people to buy bottled water in various stores? You know how they do it out where we are in Santa Monica. There are stores that feature the big jugs, and you come in and you buy your water and fill your own jug. That kind of stuff. But there are all kinds of ways of approaching this, right?
Well, most supermarkets have one aisle on one side just full of bottled waters, everything from the carbonated waters and so on. If you're looking for everyday water, what you're suggesting, Doug, is a great way to go, or even just putting a filtration system on your sink, because it's going to cost you somewhere between 50 cents and a buck, you know, just for a 16-ounce bottle of water, which obviously is not great for the environment as well. In Chicago, they're trying to pass a bottle bill on bottled water to add a tax to it, just because of all this plastic sitting in landfills. And yes, a lot of the waters have, you know, made smaller caps, or they're using a third less plastic, but it's still two-thirds of the plastic that doesn't need to be. Also, you've got to be very careful when you're buying bottled water. You really want to look at the label very carefully. The majority of bottled water that's out there, I'm talking about Aquafina and Dasani, that's Pepsi and Coke's brands, those are the two leading brands that are out there, are basically municipal water, which is then filtered.
Yeah.
It might go through a reverse osmosis process, but it's municipal water. It is not spring water. So from a health standpoint, if you're drinking water from a health standpoint to try to get some of the minerals that are in there, you really have to go the more expensive route to the Evian's or the Apollinaris's, yeah. the imported waters that have a high mineral density to them. Now, the other thing that people really need to worry about is you can drink too much water. And what I mean by that, especially in the summer where it's hot out and so on, with a lot of water, you actually flush out vitamins and minerals from your system. So if you're drinking a lot of water, you might be smart, and you might want to check with your nutritionist or your doctor to double up on your vitamins, because otherwise you're just flushing them right out of your system throughout the day.
Yep. Wash them. You know, wash that that vitamin right out of our body. Remember the old, I'm going to wash that man right out of my hair?
Well, I think that's South Pacific.
Huh? I think you're right about that.
Yeah. Which is surrounded by water.
It makes sense. Not necessarily drinkable or potable water, but it's a lot of water. Let's see. I'm looking at the headlines from Puerto Rico. Experto en la tempra de supercados, supermarket guru Phil Lampert. Revela tendencias. What is all this Spanish stuff? What is this? I see a picture of you and lots of Spanish around.
Yeah, exactly. That was from the speech that I gave last Friday at the supermarket conference here in Puerto Rico. And, you know, during the week, you and I spoke about it. And it's very interesting because Puerto Rico, while it is part of the U.S., obviously they cannot vote. About a third of the people who are in Puerto Rico are on the SNAP or the food stamp program. They get federal assistance. So it's very curious about the way that they're buying foods. In fact, what they're trying to do right now, it started by Yum Brands in Kentucky that moved to Puerto Rico, and they're trying to get, you know, fast food to be able to accept food stamps so that, you know, you have the population that's going to go there instead of going to the supermarket where at least there's some control over what they're eating. But the problem, the biggest problem is the price of food is pretty identical to what you would find in the mainland, but the per capita household income is just over half of what it is in the U.S.
Right.
So that's why you've got this high amount of people who are on food stamps that need federal assistance on this island that frankly, you know, is full of tourism and everything else. Mm-hmm. And people find that it's better to be on food stamps and federal assistance than actually get a job.
What a crazy world. Oh, my God, what a crazy world we are. We have to wake up to what's going on in our world. Ay, ay, ay. 800-510-8255. Phil Lampert, the supermarket guru, is here, brought to you by the folks that are responsible for America's egg farmers. We'll talk about that. A lot of things to talk about. We have, as usual, too much to do and not enough time, so we move along here. The focus on the one specific aspect of food buying coming up in a moment here, 19 after the hour.
We use 50 kinds of fasteners, and if we run low, we need more of them. Fast business.
At Grainger, we know what business you're in.
The more our customers grow, the more we grow business.
The business of getting things done. That's why we offer over 900,000 products and the support you need to get your job done right and on time. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by one of our branches. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Amdro Kills Ants presents the Household Ant Requiem.
If you find yourself shrieking in disgust because ants are invading the harmony of your clean kitchen and home, you need Amdro Kills Ants bait stations and stakes inside and outside your house. Amdro Kills Ants is a bait ants love, so they eat it and die. And that's a tune that'll keep your house humming. Find Amdro Kills Ants' entire line of products at a Walmart near you.
As Americans, we must never turn our backs to the men and women serving in our armed forces. We at the Purple Heart know firsthand that there is more to war than bombs and bullets. The Military Order of the Purple Heart Service Foundation has combat wounded Purple Heart recipients are truly veterans helping veterans, their families, and the community. Through your support and donations, the Purple Heart Service Foundation can provide programs that assist our veterans, their widows, and orphans. You can donate vehicles and other household items so the Purple Heart Service Foundation can assist combat wounded and disabled veterans and their families. Call today at 800-293-1343. Your tax-deductible donation also supports programs that help our soldiers returning from Iraq and Afghanistan. That's 800-293-1343 or purpleheartcars.org. Show your pride in America. The Military Order of the Purple Heart Service Foundation is leading the way for disabled veterans and their families. Call 1-800-293-1343 or purpleheartcars.org.
Phil Lampert, the supermarket guru, is here. Check out thesupermarketguru.com, 21 after on Good Day.
If you drive for a living, you don't get paid to stop or wait in line. Keep your wheels moving with PrePass. Bypass way stations. Fly by port of entry facilities. Stay moving at highway speed while the guy without PrePass waits in line. Save time, save money. Call 888-401-PASS to try PrePass free. That's 888-401-PASS.
What's cooking at PrideKitchen.com? Plenty! Low prices on your favorite kitchen brand appliances, Vitamix blenders, Omega juicers, reverse osmosis systems, and more. Plus, free shipping on it all. PrideKitchen.com gives your family the tools for a healthy lifestyle by eating more fruits and veggies and drinking pure water. Go to PrideKitchen.com. Great selection, low prices, free shipping. PrideKitchen.com. We help make healthy lifestyles convenient.
Has the whole world gone mad?
What's going on?
How can they do that?
Can Christians have demons?
Why are politicians so detached?
Need answers to these questions? This is Scott Ensor for HardcoreChristianity.com, the nastiest Christian radio show and website in the country. When it comes to the biblical truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God, about what's really going on in America and the rest of the world. Come join us each day as Michael W. Smith of the House of Healing in Phoenix reveals what the churches in America failed to tell you about the true spirit realm concerning demonic activity, mental illness, and even the basis of hardcore evil that is sweeping mankind. Visit HardcoreChristianity.com. Remember, you cannot negotiate with evil. You have to eradicate it. It's not too late. Visit our website, link to our new internet radio, broadcasting 24/7 all of Michael's teachings, and going live for seminars and deliverance services. Check our schedules.
HardcoreChristianity.com.
I'm becoming a wino, Phil. I'm convinced of it. 23 and change after the hour. Supermarket guru Phil Leppert here on the Good Day Weekend program talking about food and ancillary things like wine. We've invited Mariola Verona, who's the export manager for Martin Kodak's winery in Spain, to spend some time with a new discovery. White wine, red wine. I don't know much about this. That's why I'm not a good person at these conversations.
Well, but Doug, you know, not only with wine, but I've got to tell you, one of the undiscovered, and you're going to laugh when I say this, but one of the undiscovered cuisines, in my opinion, in the U.S., whether it's wine, whether it's food, is Spain. Spain has some marvelous different cuisines, some marvelous wines, and we always think about Italy, we always think about France. Mm-hmm. Forget about it. Spain, and I would even suggest Portugal, although Mariola might not like Spain and Portugal being put together. I mean, this 10,000-year-old war that goes on still.
Right.
But, you know, Spanish cuisine is fabulous.
So the essence of what we get out of, we think about, how many people do you know who go out for Spanish food? We go out for Italian food, go out for French food, go out for German food. You don't go out for Spanish anything. And so that's why this is an eye-opener or an ear-opener, because this is the radio. Ms. Verona, welcome to the Good Day Weekend program.
Hello. How is everybody? Hi, Doug. How I feel? Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm Mr. Lember. I love Portugal. So it's
a good
cooperation. I love Portugal, and they have fantastic cuisine. Spanish cuisine is absolutely well-known nowadays in the States. We have Mr. Jose Andres that is doing a great job, and Ferradria already did. So they are very well represented in the U.S. But, indeed, we need more job to be done, indeed.
Absolutely. And let's talk a little bit about Spanish wine, because I think if you go back, you know, probably 20 or 30 years, Spanish wine was really becoming much more of a mainstay here in the U.S. And then and it was a less expensive wine. And then all of a sudden it slowed down a bit. But now we're starting to see some great varietals such as Albarino coming out of Spain. So tell us a little overview of the wine industry from Spain, and then specifically about Albarino.
I think that the Spanish wines are coming more and more popular in the U.S. market, thanks to a lot of importers that are doing a great job. And Albarino is the next upcoming varietal. Thing is, because most Americans are interested in discovering new white wines, And once they try Albariño varietal, they just fell in love because it's something that is between a Sauvignon Blanc and a Pinot Grigio. Albariño has everything that a white wine drinker can expect. I think we over-deliver with the Albariño varietal.
Now, most people, when they think about white wine, and Doug is not a wine drinker, but I'm trying to get him to start drinking wine from a health, from a health standpoint.
Only because I bought a bottle of sangria this week, Mariola. That's my problem.
Oh, my God.
Now, did you buy a bottle of red or white sangria?
Red sangria. Oh,
red sangria is not bad in summer. No, but in Spain, sangria is something very popular, but I would encourage people to try Albariño first.
Yes, absolutely.
That's all right. Albariño is the outfit that you're connected with, right?
Yeah, we are number one Albariño.
That's a grape, Doug. Now, that's a grape.
Yeah. See?
Albariño is a variety.
The more I open my mouth, the more foolish I sound quiet on the set. I'm saying nothing more.
No. But now, Mariola, most people in the U.S. think of white wine just with either lighter foods or salads, and certainly over the summer, instead of red wines. But that seems to be changing, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think especially Albariño is absolutely versatile wine, and I think that can be as an aperitif because it's due to the nice acidity that this wine has. It opens the appetite. I mean, it has a fantastic acidity that makes your mouth water. So it can be with and without food. I always say that it's not only good with shellfish because we are the number one producer of shellfish in Europe. I always say that it's fantastic with sushi. I love sushi. I love Thai food, and I love absolutely Mexican food. In your country, Mexican food is outstanding. I love it. So absolutely versatile.
Now, you mentioned as an aperitif. So, you know, Prosecco has really come out of nowhere probably in the past 5 years to be used as an aperitif versus Dubonnet and some of the other ones that, that really held that. Do you think that Albariño is going to push Prosecco aside and perhaps this becomes the new aperitif?
If I may, I would say that Martin Cottage is the best aperitif as an Albariño that can be. It is fantastic. You know, the nose is so appealing. Has this white peach. It has this pear. Has this nose that is like the ocean. It's like the Atlantic Ocean that you just smell the wine and it's like, I just want to drink it. It's super fresh and it's refreshing. And then when you drink it, it's just you just need something. It's like, oh, can I have some, I don't know, a calamari, please? And it's opened your appetite, and it's super lingering. My winemaker, Luciano Moedi, is a ninth generation winemaker. He always says that his wine talks. This year, 2010, talks for 15 seconds. It's absolutely amazing. It's over-delivering.
All right, hold on just a second. We're discovering new white wines. Albariño is the focus. Mariola Varona, don't you love all these names? Great stuff. Mm-hmm. Half past the hour. Phil Lebert, the supermarket guru here on Good Day.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you're concerned about radiation poisoning from Japan in the air, water, or food and can't find potassium iodide, go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com and choose Liquid Zeolite. Liquid Zeolite is hands down the best product to remove radiation from your body and safely removes toxins, heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. For fatigue, muscle weakness, headaches, memory loss, influenza, joint pain, or toxic radiation poisoning, use Liquid Zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Liquid Zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-9976. Call 800-880-9976 today and learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite.
You've been lied to. Lied to by the Wall Street propaganda machine, the government, and the talking heads in the media. The market is in for another crash. Real estate is already in a double-dip recession, and if you want to keep your hard-earned money safe, this message is for you. My name is Brett Kitchen, and after losing 35% of my money when the market crashed, I said enough is enough. I searched and discovered a way to safely grow my money, participate in potential double-digit gains, but also have my money protected when the crashes come. Plus, it could save you thousands in taxes. I want you to get a free copy of my new book, Safe Money Millionaire, where I share this powerful tool that people like Walt Disney and JCPenney used to safely grow their wealth. Call 1-800-675-1640 right now to get your free copy. Again, that's 1-800-675-1640. I'm giving away a limited number of copies today, so call 1-800-675-1640.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver. That's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, UtopiaSilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Three after the hour now, as we continue the Good Day Weekend program, Phil Lemper, the supermarket guru, is here, and we're having a conversation about my favorite subject, something I know a great deal about.
No, not
take,
true.
Take a deep breath. Mariola Verona is the export manager for Martin Kodak's winery. We're talking about Spanish white wines and something called Albarino.
Mm-hmm. Now, in fact, Mariola, we were talking about Prosecco before, yeah. Which has really become, you know, the aperitif of choice in many, mm-hmm. many restaurants. Frankly, I don't like most Proseccos. I think that it has too many bubbles, that actually it's not refreshing, and you're not able to get a nice bouquet. Mm-hmm. You're not able to get a nice flavor because there's just like a whole bunch of bubbles going on in your mouth. Mm-hmm. Is Albarino effervescent as well?
It's not effervescent in itself, but it's refreshing due to the nice acidity. And when it's young, when you're having the latest vintage, has this this feeling that is making absolutely appealing and refreshing. Sometimes people think that has bubbles, but it has not bubbles. It's the feeling of being super young that makes a good aperitif wine. But I think they are fantastic Proseccos too. And being a Spaniard, I would say that I love Cava.
So I must ask, Doug, are you now convinced that, you know, Albarino is going to be your aperitif with dinner tonight? You know, a whole bunch of fresh vegetables from the farm,
yeah,
and a glass of Albarino.
It sounds like I could bathe in it and it would do me a great deal of good. I think it's something to try for sure, especially when you consider, I mean, everybody says the same thing, Mariola, that their grapes are the best and they have the best soil and the best growing conditions. And when it really gets down to it, all you have to do is expose people to the name and let them go try it and see. You know, some people are stuck in their habits and they like what they drink and it's like eating the same things over and over again. But some people want to try new things there. And I'm one of those people who is I'm an experimenter. So, the people who want to have a new experience, this is something to try and to consider. Albarino is the grape, you said, right, Phil?
Correct. And also, if people want more information, Mariola, about where to buy it, is there a website you could direct them to?
Yes, they can direct to martingoddard.com, but also, thank God we have one of the best distribution in the States. Absolutely, it's not going to be any problem. It's the number one Albarino sold in the States, Martin Goddard's, and not only in off-trade, but also in on-trade. And we have a lot of followers. Like, as I said, Jose Andres is a good chef in the States, very well known, and his favorite white wine as a varietal is Albarino. So we have a lot of defenders, absolutely available nationwide. I have a few restaurants that are very nice followers also here as a recommendation.
Okay. All right, Ms. Brona, thank you very much. Nice to chat about white wines. It's 23 minutes before the hour, 800-510-8255. Something important about salt or sodium. We're trying to differentiate between the two. Sodium reduction efforts, are they justified or not? There was a we talked about this with Dr. Ken earlier. There was a study that came out this week suggesting that salt is not as bad for you as you may think it is or may have been told that it is.
This will be a boxing glove segment.
Oh, will it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I disagree, which is the reason that we're having this doc on to talk about, you know, salt. Of course, he's from the Salt Institute.
Right. Well, of course he's going to tell you that there's nothing wrong with salt. Mort Satan is going to join us in a few minutes to have that conversation. I put salt on my eggs. And I put salt on my corn, put a little salt on potatoes, and that's about it. I don't use salt on anything else. And I find, and even eggs now, I have, I think I told you the story earlier this week. At my dairy store, people say, well, why are you selling eggs at the dairy store? Well, eggs are something that people who buy yogurt, and they buy cheeses, and they buy milk and ice cream, they seem to like to buy eggs along with that. So I found a local supplier of organic eggs. And then we found a supplier of free-range eggs. And the free-range, when I get off the air this morning, I'm going to have some of my free-range eggs, and I'm going to cook it up with a little meatless. I have a meatless, but it tastes like meat sort of thing. You know, those people turn up and say, why don't you have real meat? Well, I don't eat meat. But there's, you know, it's nice to have the flavor and the smell of some of these things that are, I don't even know how they make this stuff.
Yeah, the smell of burning flesh is always good.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's a good, drive by any Burger King, you'll know what we're talking about. Anyway, the folks at the egg board, all kinds of different eggs. I saw something earlier, and I thought of you. We were talking about the history of America and 100 years ago, what things cost. Do you know you could buy a dozen eggs for 14 cents 100 years ago?
And no, even I did not.
But today, it's like, okay, so 15 cents an egg? Why is that a big deal?
Well, and also, even if you take a look at other commodity-type products, whether it's beef or, you know, even look at the price of gasoline. You know, 30 years ago, a gallon of gas was, I don't know, what, 25, 27 cents?
I remember buying the gas for 27 cents. Yep, 27 cents a gallon.
Yeah. So 27 cents a gallon 30 years ago. Now it's $4 a gallon.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of absurd. But, you know, keep in mind that eggs are an incredible way to start your day, Doug. You've always heard that breakfast is the most important meal of the day, and a breakfast that contains eggs can help you stay full longer and keeps you energized throughout the day. Eggs are a good source of all natural, high-quality protein, and just one egg has lots of essential vitamins and minerals in varying amounts for just 70 calories and an average of just 15 cents each. The way Doug said, eggs are one of the most affordable sources of high-quality protein, and they deliver a big nutrient bang for your buck. So from America to Asia, eggs are celebrated around the world for versatility, affordability, and nutrient density. Take a trip around the world without ever leaving your kitchen. Just visit the recipe section of IncredibleEgg.org, the home of the incredible edible egg.
I'm in the I need cordless cutting shears to finish this vent work business.
At Granger, we know what business you're in.
I'm in the if you can help my business, then you'll get my business.
The business of getting things done. That's why we offer over 900,000 products and the support you need to get your job done right and on time. Call clickgranger.com or stop by one of our branches. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Are you on the same page as your spouse when it comes to planning for retirement? Most couples are not. A recent study by Fidelity Investments showed that husbands and wives often have very different plans and expectations about the future, from when and where they'll retire to how they'll finance their lifestyle. Chris McDermott, Senior Vice President at Fidelity.
Fidelity's research found that less than half of couples handle retirement investment decisions jointly. Even more concerning is that only 17% say they are completely confident that their spouse is prepared to assume sole responsibility of their finances if necessary. To improve their retirement readiness, couples must take the time to have honest, meaningful discussions about their retirement goals and priorities, either on their own or with an investment professional.
For more information, including a 10-step checklist to help couples get better prepared for retirement, visit fidelity.com/couplesviewpoint. I'm Molly McKinney. Keep in mind that investing involves risk, including the risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold for your IRA? That's right. Gold has been available to be placed in IRAs since 1986. Yet still, the financial industry refuses to recognize the value of real hard assets for your retirement. The truth be told, gold and silver has outperformed paper investments like stocks, bonds, and CDs, yet no word about IRAs. Perhaps the financial institutions want to maintain control of your assets by keeping you in paper. If you'd like to take a look at gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low return on your paper investments. Call 800-686-2237. Make sure that you secure your future. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
800-510-8255 reaches Phil Lempert and Doug Steffen on the Good Day Weekend program. I was talking about the century mark and what a difference in a century. We're talking about eggs being 14 cents a dozen. 100 years ago, sugar cost 4 cents a pound. Coffee was 15 cents a pound. Women washed their hair with eggs. Wow.
Yeah, but
the population of Las Vegas was 30.
Yeah, but Doug, just remember something.
Yes.
100 years ago, we didn't have cars, we didn't have planes, we didn't have television, we didn't have our iPhones and our iPads, and you know, look at the progress that we've had. Now, you could argue that people had a much simpler life and you know, they enjoyed life a lot more. Mm. But you would just be on your farm 20 hours a day, you know, without the equipment that you have now.
Right. I wouldn't have a radio program to hold up my farm.
Exactly, yeah, right. Because radio had not yet been invented.
Right. Imagine what it's going to be like 100 years from now. When we look at back 100 years hence, what it'll be like to compare to what, you know, again, going back 100 years, pretty interesting to look at those. And we don't think forward, we think backward more often than not. Yeah, it is. Of course it is. Yeah. It requires little imagination to look ahead. 16 before the hour. Phil Lempert, Doug Steffen, and Mort Satin is here, who's the Vice President of Science and Research at the SALT Institute. This is not a salt as in what you put on your food. Well, what's the difference, Mr. Satin, with sodium and salt? There is always confusion. Is one the same as the other?
There is a lot of confusion. No, sodium is a component of salt. Salt is sodium chloride. So the two atoms together form salt. Consequently, when you're quoted a figure of sodium, that is only about 40% of the amount of actual salt that you consume. So if you consume something like, or 35%, if you consume, let's say, the standard 2,300 milligrams of sodium, it means you're actually consuming 6,000 grams of salt.
Let me interrupt you there for a second, because this is very important. So if I pick up a can of soup,
right,
which typically is very high in sodium, and it says 1,000 milligrams of sodium is in that soup. So just quick math, you're saying that consumers should understand that it probably has 3,000 milligrams of salt in it.
Almost, yeah. The math is not 100% perfect, but you're close. It has quite a bit more. It has about 6% more salt as the number. Because, as I said, sodium is only one component. Why they, by the way, why they use sodium in the can rather than salt is two reasons. Number one, because the big concern is with sodium. But number two, that there are other components in a food product that may also be, may also contain sodium as well. So what they do is they calculate the total amount of sodium, that from salt and any other ingredient that might be in there that could be sodium-based.
Okay, so let's move to an effort that the Salt Institute is leading that is calling on the government to say, hey, look, all these people who are reducing salt or sodium in their ingredients, touting this on their labels, they're wrong. They should not be doing this. Tell us why you think that, and then maybe we'll get out the boxing gloves here.
Okay, great. Okay, the most important reason for this is that an extremely important piece of biological or physiological evidence is always left out when we talk about reducing salt. When we reduce salt, the idea is to supposedly reduce blood pressure. Now, if you're going to reducing blood pressure is a good thing. If you're going to reduce blood pressure by exercise, or if you're going to reduce blood pressure by taking on a Mediterranean diet, as an example, you will have no negative consequences. But if you choose salt as the strategy to reduce blood pressure, there is some very serious negative consequences. And they come from the fact that your body always has to have a minimum amount of salt in the blood. So when your salt level drops below a certain amount, and this was totally ignored in the dietary guidelines, when it drops below a certain amount, it elicits a response in the body through the liver and the kidneys. It's called the renin-angiotensin-aldosterone system. The goal of that is to recoup sodium out of the urine and put it back into the bloodstream. In other words, when your body gets a signal that you're not getting enough salt or you're not getting enough sodium, it signals all these organs to go ahead, tell the kidney to bring that sodium back into the body. Don't let it, don't lose it. Don't get rid of it.
Okay, now, so let's talk real numbers.
Okay.
What is that number?
Well, that's
that
the key.
We should
that
not,
number,
we should not
that number
drop
is,
below to be yeah, harmful.
That number is way above the recommended amount. That number for the average person is 3,300 milligrams. As a
of
minimum,
sodium or salt?
Sodium.
Okay.
As a minimum, your body starts to, I mean, I can't understand why they ignored the only signal that we have developed throughout evolution, if you believe in evolution, or that came down from nature, if you don't believe in evolution, whatever the case. The only signal we have was totally ignored in the dietary guidelines. Now, the problem is that when you have elevated renin-aldosterone levels, it sets up a whole consequence of negative health implications, insulin resistance, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, and these have been published in peer-reviewed publications by, for instance, Harvard University. People put on low-salt diets, healthy people put on low-salt diets, develop insulin resistance within 7 days. Within 7 days, that's almost immediate. So
okay, well,
the point
okay.
is here is that
let me interrupt you for a second,
sure.
Mort, because we can just talk about the science. What I want to ask the question, if this science that you're talking about is bulletproof and is everything that you say, why is every major food company reducing the amount of sodium? Why was it ignored in the dietary guidelines? And again, let's remind our audience that you are representing the Salt Institute here. Why is everybody but the Salt Institute saying just the opposite?
Okay, very interesting. First of all, you'll note that not all the food industries are reducing salt. Campbell's has decided to put salt back to its soup formula.
I had a let me just throw my 2 cents within here. I had a cup of soup at an airport yesterday. Must have been Campbell's. It was nothing but salt. It was awful. Awful, awful. Too much salt in some of these things. Let's spend a few more minutes with Mr. Satin in a moment as we continue Good Day Weekend with Phil Lempert.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
Will I have garlic breath after I take Ali C?
We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Ali C. And the answer is, Ali C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Ali C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin. Just one tablet of Ali C is equivalent to 40 garlic cloves. It's effective against asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boosts resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali C. For more information and to order Ali C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Ali C.
Now 53 past the hour as we continue our conversation with a man who has food sense, Phil Limper, the supermarket guru. We're talking to Morton Satin, who's from the Salt Institute, Vice President of Science and Research, about whether or not we need to have more salt or the government needs to be less anti-salt. Phil doesn't think so. It sounds like you don't think that the government
well,
ought to be.
No, no, I'm just, and again, you know, Mort, help me understand how, and if you look at the announcement that Campbell's made, that yes, they're putting sodium back in, but they're putting sodium back in because their low sodium product tasted horrible and sales went down. It wasn't from a health standpoint.
Oh, hang on a second, Phil. They didn't take it out because of a health standpoint. They took it out because of public pressure. I've spoken to the heads of research of every major food company in the world at their headquarters. I've got around. And I've tried to tell them about salt, and I'm 5 minutes into my lecture. You have to tell us anything. We know there's nothing wrong with salt.
Well, let me go back to Campbell's. You know, the year is about 1973, and I was with Harold Schaub, who was then president and CEO of Campbell's, and he said to me, directly one-on-one, he said, if I could produce a lower sodium soup that tasted as good as our regular soup, it would change this business. It would double or triple my sales because of that. And they just can't figure out how to do it without adding MSG or something else in there that people don't want. And yes, it is from public pressure because the science that's out there indicates, I'm not saying it proves it, but it indicates that reducing our sodium content, especially in processed foods, will give us some kind of health benefit.
Sorry, you just repeated a few myths. Number one, you probably think, as most other people do, that we eat more salt now than we ever did. Not so. We're eating less salt than we ever did. And the reason is, because I actually found the figures in the last 200 years in the military archives of rations for soldiers and prisoners of war. We're eating about half the amount of salt we used to 200 years ago. And the reason is because up until the Second World War, salt was the primary means of food preservation.
And absolutely. And looking at prisoners or people in the military, you know, they had to overpreserve the food because of it. But let's look at the real population.
You know,
and again, I'm not disputing that we're
only
eating less. I never said that.
But that's the only published data there is. If there was any other data, I would use it. But
yeah,
that's the only published data there is.
But that's not the general population.
That's the only, yeah, but we don't know that it's not. There is no figures on the general population. The only reliable figures were in the military archives. But the point is that after the Second World War, refrigeration took over as the main means of food preservation. And in the 1950s, our salt consumption almost dropped in half because of that. Because of the uptake of refrigeration.
Yeah,
if you take a look at the traditional diet.
And I never said our salt consumption was up or down, but I'm just begging.
What's the heart
healthiest
diet? Is it the Mediterranean diet?
I'm sorry?
Is the Mediterranean diet considered the heart healthiest diet?
It is one of the heart healthiest diets.
It's got
40%
more salt than the American diet.
But
there's a reason for it. It's because of all the traditional
food. They also eat a lot less processed foods.
I'm not talking about whether. Of course, they eat a lot less processed. That's why it's high in salt, because they eat foods that have been traditionally preserved. They're eating, let's say, olives, parmesan, gorgonzola, prosciutto. I mean, a whole baccala. I can give you the whole list because I lived there for 20 years.
Not eating a frozen dinner or a can of Campbell's soup that has 1,000 milligrams of sodium.
The Mediterranean diet published, peer-reviewed published evidence is 40% higher than the American diet. Why is it heart healthy? Because they are eating all the salads and vegetables that we don't. And what makes the salads, salad, the word salad comes from S-A-L, it means salted. The only thing that makes salads and vegetables really, really tasty is salt. I'm not saying to drown it in salt. You think I'm happy to hear a soup that is so high in salt that you can't eat it?
Yeah,
of course, that's not what you want.
I would not take issue with somebody having some vegetables and taking a salt shaker off the table and adding a little bit of salt to it to add some flavor. Not even a question. I do that myself. What I'm talking about are so many of the foods that are out there, so many of the beverages that are out there that have these high levels of sodium and salt. Frankly, because that's the only thing that's adding flavor to their products. It's a cheap way to add flavor to products instead of using real ingredients.
Time's up. We got an interesting conversation here. Mort, thank you for joining us for the conversation. Phil Leppard, the supermarket guru. Check out supermarketnews.com. 59 past the hour on Good Day Weekend.